Hold your Bible, say, I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I guess they've been on a study here this month called Jesus Is. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Studying Jesus. All right, the Son of the Living God. But tonight we're going to be studying Jesus Is Our Brother. Jesus, our brother. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. And the scripture is Matthew 12, verse 50, but we're going to back up to verse 46. Matthew 12, 46. Jesus had been talking to a crowd, to Pharisees and teachers of the law. And in verse 46 it says this, "While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mothers and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him." Verse 47, "Someone told him, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you.' He replied to him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' Pointing to his disciples, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers.'" Verse 50, the key verse. "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Let me read that again. Matthew 12:50. "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying that those who are spiritually related to him, those who are part of the family of God, are the ones who do the will of the Father in heaven. Now, how many here have a brother or a sister from the same father? That's good. Lots of us. All right, maybe somebody's father out there, maybe his will, his desire for his children was to work the family farm. And maybe somebody out there tonight, his father, his will for his children was to run the family business. And maybe somebody else out there tonight, maybe his father, his will for his children was to get a good education and then a good job. So earthly fathers have wills, have desires for their children. Would you agree? Here's the good news. Our Heavenly Father as well has a will for us in the body of Christ. What is the Heavenly Father's will for you and for me? Anybody have any ideas what that might be? Because Jesus said it. He said, "Whoever does the will of my Father is my brother." What might the will of the Heavenly Father be?
In the Bible, circumspect of prosperity.
It is to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and accept Him in your life.
That's good. Anybody else?
Eternal life.
Okay. Quick responses.
Baptism.
All right. Baptism. Okay, let's turn to John 15. We're going to kind of study what the Father's will is for us as believers in Jesus Christ. John 15, verses 9 through 17. John 15, verses 9 through 17. The will of the Heavenly Father. And this is what Jesus says. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." Verse 11. "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other." Jesus said that whatever He received from the Father, He gave to us. What was the Father's will for Jesus? What was the Father's command to Jesus? That He would love the world and die for their sins. So what is the Father's will for us? It's right there. We just read it.
He gave His Son to die for us on the cross and raised from the dead for 3 days and the sinners.
That's it. That was the Father's will for Jesus was to die for the sins of the world. So what is the Father's will for you and me as believers in Jesus Christ?
To make our lives with Jesus Christ.
One at a time. It's to love each other. To love each other. I'm going to read you something called Still He Walked. Still He Walked. Let's listen to this. He could hear the crowd screaming, "Crucify! Crucify!" He could hear the hatred in their voices. These were His chosen people. He loved them, and they were going to crucify Him. He was beaten, bleeding, and weakened. His heart was broken, but still He walked. He could see the crowd as He came from the palace. He knew each of the faces so well. He had created them. He knew every smile, laugh, and shed tear, but now they were contorted with rage and anger. His heart broke, but still He walked. Was He scared? You and I would have been. So as humanists would have mandated that He was, He felt alone. His disciples had left, denied, and even betrayed Him. He searched the crowd for a loving face, and He saw very few. Then He turned His eyes to the only one that mattered, and He knew that He would never be alone. He looked back at the crowd, at the people who were spitting at Him, throwing rocks at Him, and mocking Him, and He knew that because of Him, they would never be alone. So for them He walked. The sounds of the hammer striking the spikes echoed through the crowd. The sounds of His cries echoed even louder. The cheers of the crowd as His hands and feet were nailed to the cross intensified with each blow. Loudest of all was the still small voice inside His heart that whispered, "I am with you, my son." And God's heart broke. He had let His Son walk. Jesus could have asked God to end His suffering, but instead He asked God to forgive. Not to forgive Him, but to forgive the ones who were persecuting Him. As He hung on that cross, dying an unimaginable death, He looked out and saw not only the faces in the crowd, but also the face of every person yet to be, and His heart was filled with love. As His body was dying, His heart was alive. Alive with the limitless, unconditional love He feels for each of us. That is why He walked. When I forget how much my God loves me, I remember His walk. When I wonder if I can be forgiven, I remember His walk. When I need reminded of how to live like Christ, I think of His walk. And to show Him how much I love Him, I wake up each morning, turn my eyes to Him, and I walk. The key at the very end, when I need reminded of how to live like Christ, I think of His walk. The walk of Christ on this earth was ultimately a walk to the cross, laying down His life for you and for me. And so when you need to be reminded how to live like Christ, remember this. Love each other. Lay down your life. Put your life on the line for another brother or sister in Christ. That's the Father's will for you and for me. It's to be Jesus to somebody else. Let me read another email that I received some time back. It's called, "Are You Jesus?" A few years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They had assured their wives that they would be home in plenty of time for Friday night's dinner. In their rush with tickets and briefcases, one of the salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table which held a display of apples. Apples flew everywhere. Without stopping or looking back, they all managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding. All but one. He paused to a deep breath, got in touch with his feelings, and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him, waved goodbye, told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at their home destination, and explain his taking a later flight. Then he returned to the terminal where the apples were on the terminal floor. He was glad he did. The 16-year-old girl was totally blind. She was softly crying, tears running down her cheeks in frustration, and at the same time helplessly groping for her spilled produce as the crowd swirled about her, no one stopping and no one to care for her plight. The salesman knelt on the floor with her, gathered up the apples, put them back on the table, and helped organize her display. As he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised. These he set aside in another basket. When he had finished, he pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, please take this $40 for the damage we did. Are you okay?" She nodded through her tears. He continued on with, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered girl, blind girl, called to him, "Mister!" He paused and turned to look back in those blind eyes. She continued, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride and he wondered. Then slowly he made his way to catch the later flight with that question burning and bouncing about in his soul. Are you Jesus? Do people mistake you for Jesus? That's our destiny, is it not? To be so much like Jesus that people cannot tell the difference as we live and interact with a world that is blind to his love, life, and grace. This man who did a kind deed for this blind girl was probably the only Jesus she ever saw. I'm here to ask you tonight, will you be the hands and the feet of Jesus to another brother or sister in Christ who needs to see Jesus Christ in flesh and bone? Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody else in need. That is the will of the Father that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 12:50. Would you agree? Another email real quick. It's called, "I Saw Jesus." Written by a little girl. "I saw Jesus last week. He was wearing blue jeans and an old shirt. He was up at the church building. He was alone and working hard. For just a minute he looked a little like one of our members, but it was Jesus. I could tell by his smile. I saw Jesus last Sunday. He was teaching a Bible class. He didn't talk real loud or use long words, but you could tell he believed what he said. For just a minute, he looked like my Bible teacher. But it was Jesus. I could tell by his loving voice. I saw Jesus yesterday. He was at the hospital visiting a friend who was sick. They prayed together quietly. For just a minute, he looked like Mr. Jones. But it was Jesus. I could tell by the tears in her eyes. I saw Jesus this morning. He was in my kitchen making breakfast and fixing me a special lunch. For just a minute, he looked like my mom. But it was Jesus. I could feel the love from his heart. I see Jesus everywhere, taking food to the sick, welcoming others to his home, being friends to a newcomer. And for just a minute, I think he is someone I know. But it's always Jesus. I can tell by the way he serves. Go be Jesus to someone today. Someone is looking for you." Written by Summer Waters, age 11. "And a little child shall lead them." Amen?
Amen?
Friend, you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody else. You can demonstrate the love of Christ to another brother or sister in action. And you might be wondering today, well, Jonathan, how can I show the love of Christ? How can I be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody else in need when I'm in such great need myself? Has anybody ever thought that? How can I reach out to somebody else? How can I step out beyond myself to help someone else when I'm in such great need? And friend, I'm here to tell you today that there is somebody out there in greater need than yourself. You have a shelter over your head tonight. There is somebody out there sleeping under a bridge tonight. There's going to be somebody out there sleeping on a street corner in downtown Tulsa tonight. Now, you guys get a meal at 6:30 here. There's going to be somebody out there tonight without anything to eat. There is somebody in greater need than yourself. Amen?
Amen.
You know, you might feel like the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, the widow of Zarephath. Elijah was sent to her. I'm just going to read that real briefly. God had told Elijah to drink from the Kereth ravine, and later the brook had dried up. In verse 7 of 1 Kings 17, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called and bring me please a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel says. Verse 14, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. You might feel like the widow woman today, friend. You might be at the end of your rope. Maybe you're giving up on life. But there's two people here. There's the widow woman and there's Elijah, right? The widow woman had something. Would you agree? What does she have? She had a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. So materially, physically, she had at least something. Elijah, materially, physically, had nothing. This widow woman was at the end of her rope. And tonight, you might feel like you're at the end of your rope. But she did something. She reached out to somebody needier than herself. Elijah the prophet. What did she do? She made some bread from the oil and the flour that she had, and she sowed it into the life of Elijah. And what did God do? God multiplied it back to her so many times. There was food enough every day for the woman, her family, and Elijah. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, the point of the story is this. If you take care of those needier than yourself, God will take care of you. What did the widow woman do? She released the little bit that was in her hand. And then God did what? God saw what she did. And then He released the much that was in His hands. The point still remains today. If you release the little bit that you have in your hand to help somebody else, to be Jesus to someone in need, guess what? God will release the much that is in His hand into your life. You agree with that today? So simple ways to love each other, to love other brothers and sisters, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. You know, using simple words such as, Jesus loves you. And some of you might have heard this on Monday, but I told the story then, I'll tell it again. In 2006, I was going through some severe depression, late July, August, September. And I was doubting God's love for me. The love of Christ for me. I thought I had sinned against God and sinned against Christ and was doubting their love and just really depressed. And this lady that I had known, another sister in Christ, she came up to me and said, I just feel to tell you this, Jonathan, that Jesus really loves you. I was like, wow, that made my day. She was acting as the hands and the feet of Jesus in my life. I mean, I was out telling other people that Jesus loves them. I was doing the work of evangelism, but she spoke a few simple words into my life. Jesus loves you. And it turned my life around. How can you be the hands and the feet of Jesus? You can tell somebody who's lonely, Jesus loves you. You can tell somebody who's feeling inadequate that I believe in you. Somebody out there cares for you. How can you be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody in need? You might find somebody that has a flat tire on the side of the road. What could you do to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? You can change that person's flat tire. They'll see Jesus in that. You know, you could buy somebody's meal. You might have $20 to your name. That other person may have nothing. They may be starving. And God may speak to you. Buy them lunch. Spend $10 and buy that person lunch. That's being the hands and the feet of Jesus. That's loving each other. That's fulfilling the Father's will in our lives, according to Matthew 12:50. You know, there may be somebody out there that needs bus fare to get from point A to point B. You might have $10 or $20 to your name. Buy that person's bus fare. That's being the hands and the feet of Jesus. You know, the holidays are approaching and people get lonely. How could you be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody who's lonely during the holidays? Spend some of your time with them. It's a resource that God has given each one of us. It's called T-I-M-E, time. Spend some of that time with somebody who is lonely this season. If you release the little bit that is in your hand, God will release the much that is in His hand. Amen? You know, somebody may be in need of affection. Maybe they haven't been touched for a long time. Just go up and hug somebody. Be the arms of Jesus. Tell them that God loves you. That's loving each other. Would you agree? You know, another way that you can be the hands and the feet of Jesus is visiting somebody in the hospital. Visiting old folks in the nursing home. People that are not visited normally. Go to the hospital. Visit somebody in need. Pray over them in the name of Jesus. Visit somebody who's old and tell them that Jesus loves them. Friend, that is being the hands and the feet of Jesus to a lost, hurting, and dying world. Amen? Are you Jesus? And when other people outside in the world see the love that we have for each other, they'll say, there's something different about that person. I want what that person has. And what is it that you have? You've got Jesus. And you can share Jesus with that lost person and save somebody out of hell with God's help. God saves them, but you can be an instrument to leading them to Christ. Amen? All right, Kevin, come up. He's going to share a time in his life where somebody was the hands and the feet of Jesus to him, where somebody loved him.
You know, I was 9 years old. I was diagnosed with a mass on my brain and suffering for almost a summer with great pain. I finally ended up in the hospital. You know, from there, one day, after several days of actual treatment and taking medication, you know, you get very sick. And then my pastor came into the room. Now, this is an old Baptist pastor, okay? Any Baptist here? No. All right. The old Baptist pastor, he's about as big as a mountain. All right? But he came in wearing some different types of clothes I wasn't used to. He's wearing clergyman clothes. And he kneeled down. I said, what are you wearing? He says, I'm wearing clergyman clothes. I said, why? Because I have special prayer today. And he laid hands on me, and this old Baptist minister said, Lord, heal this young boy.
Wow.
I've got need for young men like him. And our life, my life. Pray for me. 2 days later, another set of x-rays, and the mass was gone. Now, how did this impact me? You know, the rest of the time I spent in that hospital, I prayed for other kids because I wanted them to have what I had. And I've been praying for people ever since. So that's how that man was Jesus to me at that moment and inspired me to walk as the Master does.
Awesome. That man was the hands and the feet of Jesus in Kevin's life. He was fulfilling the Father's will to love each other. Amen? Amen. Say it. This week?
This week.
And thereafter?
Yeah.
I am going to fulfill the Father's will in my life. To love another person. To be the hands and the feet of Jesus to another brother or sister. The world will see it and they will be saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, remember this. There is always somebody needier than you out there in greater need than yourself. Say it. There is somebody out there in greater need than myself. I am going to be like Jesus to that person, fulfilling the Father's will. Amen.